Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Sing it over me. Singing, I am yours all my days. I am yours. He's always ours. He's always ours. But are we always His? And we have the emotional choice every day to say, Lord, I am yours. It's a decision daily that we have to make. But know that He is always ours. It's us that has to choose Him every day. Do you choose to be His today? Do you choose to say, Lord, I'm yours? You're bought at a price. I choose today to say, Lord, I am yours. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday, His mercies are new every day. Scripture says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. He doesn't wallow around in what happened yesterday or what happened 5 minutes ago. You can ask for forgiveness and you can choose to walk forward. He won't hold you in condemnation. For those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Him. If you feel like you're in condemnation today, that is not from the Lord. The enemy is telling you lies. And you better find out what the Lord says about you, because He says you are free. You are mine. You are bought at a price. Hallelujah. And that same freedom that Jesus bought, we choose to walk in it today. He has given us power and authority. It's our choice. I choose it today.
Good morning. You know, God spoke to me this morning about some things. My wife and I were having communion together. And it's amazing. I mean, you heard a lot of things this morning about getting in the presence of God. You heard Abe talk about scripture when it comes to being honorable with your finances. You know, the number one thing that is going to build the kingdom, this is a real revelation, and we all know it. Go tell somebody about Jesus. It's that simple. You know, when I got saved, the night I got saved, a guy came up to me and he said, I know you know about God, but I want you to know Him. And he handed me a little book. I went home and read that book, and God's word in that book made me realize that He was really there. I mean, there was a lot of instances in my life where people did come up and tell me I needed Jesus. But that didn't mean anything to me at the time. But it was seed planted. You know what's going to fill this to overflowing in here? Tell people about Jesus. It's the Word of God that sets men free, not you, not me. So when you take the Word out there and you say, you know what? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He died for you, bro, sister. He loves you. You planted a seed. And if we do that all day long, every day, all of our life, the magic of compound numbers works. Jesus took 12 people and turned the world upside down. They just simply told Him about the kingdom. So I encourage you today, wherever you go, my one-liner, it works. You find your own one-liner. I ask people, are you ready for heaven? Man, that opens up a whole can of worms. Every time I do it, I get a different response. But I got a response. God is waiting. He's waiting for us to get out there. This last move of God is happening right now. Get out there and get after it, God's telling us. And watch that flow come into the kingdom in ways you didn't dream possible. It's happening right now. Just step into it.
Morning, everybody. As I was listening Pastor Pat and Abe earlier, I got a testimony I got to share with you all. So we've walked with the Lord, my wife and I, for about 40 years now. 40 years ago, how many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Praise the Lord. So right after we became new Christians, I was in the Army. We had 5 kids. We didn't have a lot of money. We're sitting in church on Sunday morning, and here comes the plate, and my wife opens her purse, and the only thing in the purse is our last $5 bill. That $5 bill was supposed to buy 2 cans of baby formula, because back then it could buy 2 cans of baby formula. And we had 2 babies still drinking formula. And there were 5 days until payday. My wife looked at me and I looked at her, and she put that $5 bill on the plate. We thought about it Sunday night. We thought about it Monday morning. I went to work Monday. Monday afternoon, I get a phone call from my wife who said, "Guess what came in the mail today? Here's a coupon for 2 cans of baby formula." Praise God, he's so good.
Just testing one at a time. If you want, you can sit for a little bit. I'm probably take about 2 or 3 minutes here, Pastor. That's okay with you. You know, as these songs were playing, it took me back when I gave my life to the Lord. And I don't know if this is for somebody here or not, but the song reminded me when I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember the sermon. I come from a background. My grandfather was a preacher, an evangelist. My dad was a preacher. We put tents up all over the place. We were in church for 365 days a year. You know, and I've seen so much. But the sermon, I was about 12 years old. I'll never forget it. And it was a bilingual service. And the sermon was Cristianos en Hablados. It was a chicken in a cage. And it got my attention. I go, chicken in a cage? What's he going to talk about? And I remember he's talking about a family. They didn't have that much money. And he said, you know what? He goes, we're going to buy, I remember the son's name he said, but we're going to buy him a little chicken. You know, so he goes, because he loves animals so much. So they bought this real small little chicken, and his chicken started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, where they had to put him in a cage. And then I remember that, and I'm just listening. I don't know why it just caught my attention. And then their food was all gone. And his dad was telling his wife, he goes, babe, tomorrow morning, he goes, we have no more food. We're going to have to eat that chicken. And without knowing, their son was listening. No, not my chicken. They can't eat my chicken. There's no way. Not my chicken, no way. So he got up at night when they were asleep. He went to the cage. He took the chicken out. He goes, go. He's go, go. And the chicken's coming back. He goes, go. He starts throwing rocks at me. Go. He goes, go, go. They're going to kill you tomorrow. Go. And the chicken was leaving. And it just got my attention. And he's throwing rocks at the chicken. And the chicken starts going. And finally he goes back and he goes to sleep. And gets up in the morning. And he goes to the cage. And the chicken's there with the doors open. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I gave you a chance. The doors are open. I let you escape for your life, but you never wanted to. Because you're so used to that condition, you came all the way back. How many times as people, ourselves, is that we're so addicted to something, and the door is open, and God is saying, come on, it's open. But we stay right there. We don't move. Mm-hmm. I remember that day, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, God, I don't know you. I'm just 12 years old. I go, but if the door is open, I want to receive you. And I gave my life to the Lord that day. But going back, when Gabe was testifying, I go, I got to tell him what happened to me. I was one that didn't pay my tithes. And I remember I used to work day and night. You can ask my wife. I used to work in my cars 24/7 because they would break down every time I go. My cars are always breaking down. The ice box is breaking down. Everything just keeps going. Spending money like crazy to fix all this stuff. And the day we started paying our tithes, my ice box stopped breaking. My cars stopped breaking. I go, wow. And then I was working for Waste Management. And then I was working like 80 hours a week, and I was getting burned out. My wife goes, just go to the city, Rick. I go, babe, if I go to the city, I'm going to take a $10,000 cut. I go, there's no way. She goes, just go to the city. And we prayed about it. I went to the city. I drive a brand new truck right now. You know, I have a beautiful home. I have another car. I don't know how, but it's only God, because it's like I have more money now. I got money in the bank. Nothing's breaking down. I go, God, I go, this is just impossible. How do you do this? I cannot afford not to pay my tithes. And let me just tell you, this just happened. We had a hailstorm at our home. I'm outside. This guy comes up. He goes, there was a hailstorm here. I go, yes. He goes, let me check out your vehicle. Oh, he goes, you got some damage here. He goes, let me go ahead and put this estimate up and this and that. He goes, and then we'll go ahead and we'll put it in to see if we can get it fixed. Just pay your deductible. And now he goes, tell you what. He goes, I'll cover the deductible. I said, okay, I'll check it out. So he went ahead and checked it out. Then somebody else comes and says, well, you know what? There was hail damage in the area, so we're going to go ahead and check out the roof, and we're going to check out your house. Well, they gave me a free paint job. They did my roof. I paid no deductible. I paid $150 only because I wanted some vents added up on top, and that was it. Now, I didn't go with the guy with this truck. I went somewhere else, and she tells me, Rick, they overcharge you. She goes, you know what? She goes, I'm going to go ahead and fix your vehicle. She goes, and we're going to go ahead and give you back about $3,000. I go, Lord, I go, and I believe this is what happens when you pay your tithes. There's just so much stuff that God does when you're faithful to him. God just, he's a God that is faithful. And I believe in paying tithes. I believe in giving offerings. I mean, there's been times God tells me, Rick, give $100. I just do what he tells me to do. You know, because everything is his. So paying the tithes, it works. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, God. Lord, hallelujah. We will sing. We will dance. We will shout. Might even run about, Lord, because you're so good. How many believe God is good? How many say God is good? Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. If you believe God is good, just yell, just shout to him. God, you're so good. You're so good, God. Come on, you're a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. They tell me that piano's fixed. I heard. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. And I just need to tell you, you can sit down anytime you need to. Okay? Hallelujah. We don't, what do you call it? It's not a commandment. How's that? You got to stand during service. No, you don't. I mean, because you can kneel, you can lay on the floor if you feel like God's doing something in your life. But I'll just tell you something. Sometimes, hallelujah. Yes, sometimes you just feel like worshiping sitting down. Is that okay? You can do that too. I wouldn't suggest it. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. How are you this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, God's been laying some stuff on me. I've been digging ditches at my house. How many like actually digging ditches? Anybody here? Any ditch diggers? Because I'm trying to get a few folks to help me out. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Been digging. I dug a ditch. Took me a year, it felt like. And got it done. Got a water pipe put in a couple of days ago. And then was trying to bury it yesterday. I said, that's enough. I'm going to go in. And then Rosie told me, it did say it might freeze tonight. Oh, run out back outside and buried the pipe because I checked it yesterday. It was full of water. But God had said something to me one time. I was trying to get him to help me to stop walking. And I said, Lord, can I stop walking now? Because he's told me to walk all over the place in the city. And I said, God, can I stop walking now? And it was crazy, man. I did a sermon, and he showed me a thing in the sermon that King Jehoshaphat, and I can't remember the other king. It was the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. But they were attacking. But in their trip they ran out of water, and they didn't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat said, "Hey, there's a prophet right down here in this city. Let's go ask him." And the prophet looked at the other king. I can't remember what his name was right now. But he looked at the other king and he said, "Man, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat standing here, I wouldn't even talk to you." Oh, man. Kind of a saying. But anyway, he said, the prophet told him, "Bring me a minstrel." And I enjoy what Stella was saying this morning. Sometimes it's important that we understand what corporate worship is. It is a time for us to gather together and worship God. And it is a time that God will begin to speak to us in that worship. It's really wonderful. The Bible says, "Enter in my gates with thanksgiving," right? "And into my courts with praise." And so it's important that we have corporate worship together. It's important that you worship God all day long, wherever you're at. But there's something about meeting together as a body of Christ and worshiping together. So, Stella, thank you for that word this morning. It was just on time. But he said, "Bring me a minstrel. I want to worship here," because I guess the other king kind of got under his feathers, if you know what I'm talking about. He said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even answer you guys. But he started worshiping, and the Lord gave him a word, and he told him, "This is what God wants you to do. He wants you to go out there and dig ditches. Hey, we're dying of thirst out here, and you want us to dig?" He said, "Dig ditches in the morning. They'll be filled with water." And that's what happened. And while I was walking, I had been telling the Lord, "Can I quit walking?" And he said this to me. He says, "Henry, you are digging ditches. I am still waiting. I am still, and I know it's coming, folks. There is an unusual watering event that's going to come into this city like it's never seen before. It is a move of God." Amen? If you say amen to that, I mean, it's a move of God, and he's promised it. And how many of you know when God says something, it's going to happen? Is that right? He says, "Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come to pass." It will. So I'm wearing out my shoes. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. It just reminded me this morning, "Henry, keep digging those ditches." I said, "I will, Lord." So let me say amen to that. Are you expecting? Yes. Are you expecting? Hallelujah. Today's, I've got kind of a message that kind of bumps into last week. I feel like the Lord was saying something to us last week. And today, he just wants me to go over it. I would say okay to that. Is that right? How many know that hearing comes? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Hearing the word of God. You got to hear and hear and hear. How many say amen to that? I don't know how many times I might have heard about the gospel. People trying to tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Nah, leave me alone. I'm okay. And people trying to talk to me about Jesus. But I think it was a hearing and hearing and hearing about so many times. Finally, in a time of need, in a time where I was really low. How many say amen to that? God saved me. I listened to the message, understood the message. Now, oh my, couldn't believe the message. Couldn't believe that because I'd grown up as a Catholic, couldn't believe that I had missed the message. Can you say amen? Missed the message. That he actually died for me, took my sins away. How many know he's a personal God? How many know he loves you? Tell yourself, he loves me. Tell yourself again, he loves me. I mean, say it with some, hey, man, he loves me. Praise God, man. He's not trying to send, one of the sisters said this morning, he's not trying to hold anything over your head. Is that right? He's not trying to, he's not waiting for you to mess up so he can smack you down. Is that right? That's not the God we serve. He loves you. Everybody say this to yourself. He loves me. Look at your neighbor and say, he loves me. You might look at it, I don't know why he loves you, but man, not really, I'm just kidding. He loves you. He cares about you. Hallelujah. And when he says he will never leave you nor forsake you, I mean, he's not going to lie to you. He loves you. We like that word in our love. We like that word. Oh, but to think that he loves you enough to go to a cross and call out your name to his Father. This is for them. Oh, he knew you. You might not see, this is the incredible thing about God. This is the incredible thing about who Jesus was on the earth. Not only did he know all those soldiers around him and Pilate and everybody, he says, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of those, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they don't get it. They don't understand. But even then, he knew all of us. Isn't that good? He knew you. He loves you. So, man, it's the greatest story ever told. Let me say amen. Greatest story. Ben, Evelyn, he knew them. He knows them and he loves them and he died for them. Amen? Praise God. So I wanted to start with that. No, hey, there's no condemnation. How many know that? He loves you. He's not trying to condemn. He is trying to get to you. He's trying to show you things about who you are yourself. I want to look at a scripture that I always thought it was, okay? But I want to talk about this a little bit because God really does have a lot for you, more than you expect. More than you expect. Amen. So if you will, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's getting late last night. And I kept telling God, God, it's getting late. God, ding dong, are you there? God, I would really like to get to sleep. I was out burying waterline. God, do you know that? Yeah, he knew that. But there's something about your heart when it pushes forward and you say, God, I just got to give me something. How many of you want something from God this morning? You want God to speak to you? Do you desire him to talk to you about something? Just open your heart to this word, okay, if you will. See if you can hear God speaking to you in this word, because he does care about you. He does. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 21. Before we do, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for the word that you've spoken this morning, Father. I thank you for all the challenges that you have used your servants this morning to speak to your people. Because, Father, I believe that you are building a people that is unlike any other people this world has ever seen, Father. I believe that you are building the body of Christ that is about to be manifest in the earth. And, Lord, there are things that you desire to say to us, you desire to lead us into, Father. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you this morning, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Father, have your way this morning in our hearts. Hallelujah. What's there that's not, that is contrary to you, Father, kick it out and replace it with what's good. What's there that we've been struggling with, Father, move it out of the way, far from our lives. Thank you for that this morning. I praise you for it, God. Bless your people with your word. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has given us in this house a challenge to speak to the body of Christ. There has been things that God has been saying in this house that is because he is maturing the body. How many of you know that? How many know that God's... Have you noticed that, you know, when I was a kid, if you could do a wheelie, you were an amazing person. How many of you say amen? Is that right? You guys remember that? But now I see kids outside here doing wheelies, going down the road with a wheelie. I mean, how many of you know that things have advanced so much? Is that right? Abilities have advanced. I'm going to shout out to my granddaughter for Chaos, man. They had a they were a championship dance team this weekend. My granddaughter can do a backwards and just keep going. And man, I look at that, I go, man, what an amazing generation we're looking at. Can you say amen to that? Ooh, we got young men and young ladies doing things that we've never seen before. Is that okay? I love it. Whoo, it's an amazing generation. And it's a generation that God is looking at. And he's saying, I'm going to touch that generation. They're going to touch the world. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. You watch. You watch. It's not so much about you going out. It's about who you are and the light of the gospel drawing people to you because they see something different in you. Can I tell you that's a different way that we've been taught all our lives in the kingdom of God? Is that right? Man, I used to go knocking on doors, pop, 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 pop. Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. Clack, slam the door in your face. Go somewhere else. Don't come back. Whatever. Occasionally, you'd find a nice person that would say, yeah, tell me about it. And then finally, they say, I already go to church. Oh, okay. Praise God. Come on. Say, Lord. Used to do that. How many of you do that? How many used to do that? But we are in a day, folks, where God says, let my glory and my spirit lead you and guide you into all these things. And you watch what happens. When it's him doing the work, you'll see it. You'll see the kingdom of God. People around you will see the kingdom. And that's cool, man. Hallelujah. I better get going. Lord. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 21, the word of God says that Jesus is speaking. It's a parable. And he says this, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Amen? How many have ears to hear? Yeah. Touch your ears real quick. Say, are you there? Hear, man. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. How many? Everybody in the room has ears to hear. Amen? Hallelujah. They are ears to hear. But God is talking specifically about something different. Is that right? Apparently, he's talking about a spiritual ear. How many say amen? He's talking about an ear that has the ability to hear the spiritual things that he's trying to say to you. Because God is a spirit. Amen? He's a lot different than any of us. We're created in the image of God. Is that right? But he's invisible. We can't see him. So when I used to read this, I don't know about you. I used to read this. I go, uh-oh. How do you say, man? Whatsoever is hid, right? Isn't that what it says? There is nothing hid that will not be manifested. Is that right? And there's nothing kept secret, but that it should come abroad. How many of you got secrets? Anybody got secrets? I just, Daniel's got a secret. That's about it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of you have secrets that you don't want to tell nobody. Amen? Just nod. You don't have to raise your hand. Just say, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's me, man. And I used to look at this and I said, man, what, God, this is, but I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit begins to, yeah, how many know that the Word of God will interpret the Word of God? Do you know that? You spend some time in the Word of God. You might have read some things. You might not have thought you even picked up, but your spirit picked them up. Then you'll see something or hear something, and you'll go back to that place of remembering, and you'll look at that scripture, and you'll begin to place words. See, the Word of God says this: How shall a man be taught? Abe, Isaiah 28. Can you bring that up? Oh, I didn't write this in there. Can I tell you? Okay, never mind. God likes to take over. Hallelujah. This is something I feel the Lord is saying this morning. Just right then. So remember that we are talking about things being hidden, things being Here's verse 9 of Isaiah 28. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? How many of you want to know? I want to understand, God. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from breast. It's funny because kids get distracted. Amen? But then as you grow and you mature, you mature in things. You go to school and you learn things. But here he's saying those that are weaned from the breast. I'm going to teach the ones that are weaned from the breast. You're no longer a child in the kingdom of God. How many say amen to that? That God is saying things to you. He's teaching you and he's showing you things in his word. You go to his word in the morning. He opens something up to you and you go, oh, I see I got a good word, man, you know, whatever. And he says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Then he says, precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And then verse 11 says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom is said, this is the rest wherewith you will cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And then he goes on to say that those others were like, they would hear a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But because they wouldn't allow the Spirit to help them, they never grew. Is that okay? Well, what I want you to know this morning that I'm going to be giving you some scriptures today, and there's a little place on the back of the bulletin that you can write some scriptures down. Some of you take scriptures down all the time, but I want, because some of these scriptures were spoken to us last week, and God brought them back again. So I have this within me that when God says it again, he says it again, that he is saying something. He is desiring to speak something into us. He's desiring to open our understanding. Is that okay to you? Is that right? So take some of these things down. Take a look at them. And I'll let you know which scriptures we gave last week. Know that God is coming to speak to you personally. Do you know that we teach this. We teach, it really is a fact that God wants to teach you personally by yourself. Is that okay? He wants a one-on-one time with you. He wants you to know him. He doesn't want anybody coming to him just because my best friend goes to church, I'm going to go to church with him and everything. He wants you to be there. He wants you to hear what his word says, but he wants to teach you. The word of God teaches us that you don't need any man to teach you. That is a person that has been weaned from the breasts and is becoming strong in the Lord, is a person that is becoming a grounded place, finding a grounded place in the kingdom. Is that okay? He wants you, and we teach this, independently dependent upon him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you when I say that? He wants you dependent on him. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. Doesn't matter what's that. But he wants you to be able to, hey, God, in the midst of trouble, God, you said to call upon you in times of trouble and you'll answer me. And you'll find that he answers you because you know him. You know what his word has said. You know what his promises have said. Is that okay? Watch this. He wants to teach you. He says, I want to show you. But it's going to come line upon line, precept upon precept, with stammering lips and another tongue. He's talking about the Spirit of God speaking to you. He's talking about the Spirit of God building you up. Talks about in the New Testament how the Spirit of God, you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up within you. Is that okay? That's what God's word says. It's the Spirit of God. The word says it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's everything that we go through, everything that we experience in today. With us, with being a born-again child of God, is because God is doing something in your life. You might not like the way it looks. I might agree with you. It looks bad, man. But the fact of the matter is God's doing something. He's strengthening you in those times. Does that, let me say amen to that. Well, here he says this. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret that it should come abroad. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, the word of God tells us this, watch. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Psalm 18:28 says this, for you will light my candle, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. I want to keep relating these scriptures to what we read about, is a candle brought to be put under a bed or under a bushel basket? No, it is brought to what? To be put on a candlestick so that it might give light to all. So here we're seeing that the word of God is telling us that our spirit is the candle of the Lord. And when you accept Christ in your life, God lights the candle. Nice. Light. You begin to understand things from God. You begin to know what he's doing. You begin to hear his voice. Hallelujah. Icebox. I haven't heard icebox in a long time. Refrigerator, huh, bro? Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we had an icebox. It was in the refrigerator, but we called it the icebox. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord. And then he says, the Lord will light my candle. He's going to show me things. How many say amen? Aren't you glad God shows you things? He wants to show you things. He's desiring to show. He wants you to know things without a doubt. Without a doubt that he's with you, that he will take you, he will build you, he will strengthen you without a doubt. Hallelujah. But you got to believe him. Amen? He will light your candle. What's this? Psalm 25, verse 14 says this. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You see, the light comes into your spirit so that he can begin to show you his secrets. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You reverence him, you honor him, you love him, you worship him. His secret is within you. Can I tell you, he's already loaded you with everything you need. Is that right? The word of God in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Already, he has given you. It's already placed within you. Can I tell you what you have within you and what you have within you? All those things are already there. They're different things for different people. I mean, God is so... how many of you have ever heard, and I've never taken the time to check. Maybe you guys have taken time to check, but I've heard that no two snowflakes are the same. How many? Anybody here ever taken the time to check? So, man, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but I really believe it. I say, yeah, you're probably right. How many know that no two fingerprints are the same? What God has placed within you is just that way. That's just the way he is. That's who he is. He has made you special. You. Look at your neighbor, say you. He's made you special. No one like you. The world has never seen anybody like you. I want to say that. Never seen anybody like you. And the world will never see. Once you're gone, they will never see anybody like you again. How many say amen to that? Because you are specific. You are specifically designed by a great creator. Nobody's like you. Every one of us. If you're breathing today, you might say, well, I'm too young. I got to grow a bit. Or you might say, well, I'm too old. If you're breathing today, God has purposed you for his kingdom today. Is that okay? You are part of this kingdom. He loves you, and he's not going to turn loose of you. He wants to show you things. He wants to show you his secrets about you, about who you are. Isn't that cool? Whew. God has secrets for you. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32 says this. The froward is an abomination to the Lord. How many say, everybody say abomination. What's that? Something he don't like. What does a froward person do? Well, they're good and then bad. Then they're good and they're bad. They can't make up their mind one way or the other. God says, that's an abomination to me, man. Because I've got stuff for you. I want to lead you and guide you and help you. Hallelujah. He says, the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with who? The righteous. How do you become righteous? You believe that Jesus died for you on the cross. You personally, your name was up there. Hallelujah. Anthony, he died for you on that cross. When he's on that cross, he calls out Anthony Rodriguez. Ooh. John Valero. Ooh. Jasmine Desjardins. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Yeah. Jake. How you say it? Krill. I just learned his last name last night or a couple of nights ago. Jake. He's on the cross. Jake Krill. Called your name from the cross. His secret is with the righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. How many say, praise God. You're the righteous in his. I want to just show you this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We read this last week. The word of God says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? You can raise your hand. You don't have to. But if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Everybody say new creature. You are new. You don't even understand who you are yet. Is that right? Because you're new. Old things are passed away. That old man was pushed away, pushed aside. And now you're brand new. And what you need is the Spirit of God to teach you and show you who you are. Is that okay? There are things that are deep within you that God is saying, I'm going to pull them up. I'm going to bring them out. But you got to yield yourself to, if you belong to Christ, you yield yourself to what he wants. Is that right? Things you go through will exhibit who you are and what he's trying to release and what he's trying to put in. Things that you, experiences, troubles you go through, all designed for God to show you who you are. Is that okay? Go watch this. Here's another one from last week. It says this, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Jesus said it in other words, seek first the kingdom of God. Is that what he said? You remember that? Seek it first. And then all these other things will be given to you. Amen? Why do we seek God? For a new car? For a new house? For a swimming pool? Everybody needs a swimming pool in Arizona, amen? Come on, yeah. Why do we seek him? For what we want? No, man, we seek him to find out who he is and what he is doing in our lives, amen? Why else seek him? If you're going to seek him just for material things, man, you know what? You're missing it. You are missing the message of Jesus Christ. He says you're a new creature. You're a new creation. Designed. You are designed by a creator that says, man, this is what I'm placing in this one. This is what I'm placing in this one. This is what I'm placing in this one. And when you learn what God has placed within you, it begins to build this kingdom that God says, this is an incredible kingdom. How many say amen? It is a glorious kingdom. It's like the world has never seen this kingdom. And God's about to exhibit it through you and me and others all around this planet. I believe that God is doing such a work today. He told Adam, he said, before Adam sinned, he told him this. Subdue the earth, take dominion in it. Fill the earth. God was specifically saying, a man just like you, filled with the Spirit, in close contact with me. Do you know that it got shut down at the fall? And today it's taken the Holy Spirit all these years. And now we have Spirit-filled believers all around this planet. How many of you say amen to that? How many know that? There are people all over praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Don't know what to do, but God, I know that you said to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I pray in the Holy Ghost. They're all over the planet today. God is about to display the mightiest kingdom this world has ever seen. Well, we've seen a lot of kingdoms. We've seen the Babylonian. Well, we haven't seen them, but you know, you hear about the Babylonians. You hear about all the Roman Empire. You hear about all those kingdoms. You hear, even the United States, probably the strongest superpower that the world has ever seen. Which, folks, be praying, because our country is crumbling. Be praying. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and then I'll heal your land. But you gotta seek my face. Hallelujah. Why do you seek him? Because he says, seek my face. Because he wants us to know him. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. And he says, for you are dead. Oh, I love it. You're dead. Where'd you die? On the cross with Jesus. You died. You are dead. And then he says this, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see that? Go back to what the parable said. He said, God lights a candle and places it on a candlestick so everything can be seen, so that the secret things will be seen, so that the hidden things will be seen. You see, God's not trying to condemn you or say, hey, I saw you do that. You should have never done that. I saw the way you were thinking about that person. That's not what he's after. He wants to show you the secret things that he's placed within you personally. Hallelujah. Your life is hid. Romans 8:10. This is in last week's. Might give 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, if the Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you see that? You're born again, and God places his Spirit upon you. And you're reading your Bible, and you're reading your Bible, and you find out that God says, I will not only be upon you, but I'll also be in you. You'll see where Jesus said, wait for the power, wait for the promise that comes to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit when he comes to dwell within you. How many of you like that? I love it. He comes to dwell in you. The Spirit comes to dwell in you. So even when you pray, you can, you know, you run out of prayers. Well, I think I read all my prayers. Because, Pastor, we got a list, don't we, Pastor? We got a list of prayers. But there's a lot of folks that don't tell us everything, do they? We don't know anything about it. Is that right? Ooh, but he does. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows what's going on in your life. And we'll pray in the Spirit. 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 Ooh, come on. Can I tell you, there's been things that were coming towards you. Everybody look at it. Towards me? Yeah, towards you. There's been things coming towards you that the Holy Spirit has thwarted, and you don't even know about it. Because he says, tells the church to pray according to the will of God, which is pray in the Spirit. Whoo, hallelujah. We only know what we know. Is that right? But I know, he says, that he prays through me. We know what we know, but I know that he knows and he sees everything happening. And so he says, pray, Henry. How many of you had those times when you go to pray, all of a sudden you pour out, you pray like crazy. Isn't that right, Linda? Isn't that right, Linda? Where you weep and you cry and you're one. Man, you get a man, this peace that comes on you that passes all under. Man, I don't know what just happened, but it happened. And then you see results. Is that right? That's our God. He knows, he knows, he knows. Hallelujah. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up, pay attention to this, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells where? In you? Pay attention to this. You are dead. You've been dead. And you see, he by his spirit comes to quicken you, poof. To touch you, poof. You got that word on quicken? Quicken, it says here, he will quicken your mortal bodies. Check this out. The word quicken means, I wish I would have said this last week, because I had it in my notes. There was a little boy in our, that got baptized. His name was Pollo. Yeah. I should have said, but anyway, the word for quicken in the Greek is zupoio. And it means to vitalize, make alive, give life, and quicken. That's what that zupoio. I want everybody to say zupoio. Zupoio. Say, Lord, zupoio me. Zupoio me, God. That's not a zoo with a bunch of baby chickens, is it? It is, God, quicken me, God. Lord, show me what you have for me, God. Hallelujah. Zupoyo. He wants to quicken you. Why? Because you died on the cross and you need to be resurrected. Do you understand that? Not the old way, the same way that you were before, but in the new way, what he's bought for you, what he's placed for you. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, you know what? I don't know why we even have to worry about that. Well, if he paid for it, you want to know about it. Is that right? If he bought it for you, don't you want to know how good it is? Ooh, hallelujah. I don't know why I'm bending over like this. What is that? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Ooh, Zupoyo. He wants to quicken you because he's got new stuff for you. You see, even your love, I mean, this is something that God has been speaking to me. Even your love, the love that you have for your kids, your love, I mean, even your love that goes out for your kids. How many know the world has that kind of love? Same thing. They have that same kind of love. But you see, he says, you're a new man. And the love of God, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, the love of God is shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You see, even his love is better than your love. How many of you believe that with God? I say, God, your love is, so fill me with your love. That's why when people get on you, that's why God says, let my love show up. You don't hold grudges. Because God sees them. Did we talk about that? He does see them. And he says, that's not you anymore. You are new. You've been purchased with a price. The blood of the Son of God has purchased you and brought you into position so that you can be zupoiled. Zupoiled. Quicken, quicken, quicken. The more you read the word of God, the more you spend time with God, God begins to quicken your spirit because he's got things for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Huh. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Now, pay attention. Write these down because I'm telling you, sometimes they go through quick, but you need to see what God is saying to us, man, because this is what God desires for us to enter into those things. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. How many of you know that a lot of times our faith is standing in things that we've been taught by people? Is that right? Churches. Been to this church, been to that church. This is the way they did it there. We've got to do it here. Our faith stands in the wisdom of men, is what God said. But the Holy Spirit is telling Paul to say this. He says, don't let it stand in the wisdom of man, but let it stand in the power of God, in the resurrection power. Come on, you got to say amen. You got to say, oh yeah, that resurrection power. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? In a mystery. We can call it secrets. Is that right? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, the way, you know, the light, the candle. Keep remembering that the parable Jesus said was telling us is talking about these things. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world began. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. How many say amen? So he knew you and he picked you. Oh God, Lord, help me to say. He picked you. He ordained you to walk with him. And it is such a privilege to be chosen by God. This one will hear and will walk in the things that I placed within them. Is that good? He chose you. What a privilege. There's a lot of people out there that are living lives that are damaging them and making it worse on their families and going, and that cycle keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And they're living apart from God. And God is saying, just listen to me. They've been chosen, but they don't know. Is that right? That's why it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us to those that are around us. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to start at verse 9. But as it is written, here we go, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can put your name in there, the heart of Hank, Henry, heart of Abe, heart of Jasmine, heart of Julie. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by what? His Spirit. Zupio. Poyo. Zupoyo. He reveals them to us by his Spirit. How? In the Word of God. In prayer. In the Word of God. In prayer. In the Word of God. In prayer. In the Word of God. And he begins to open these things up to you. Those things that he has for you. Oh, God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? For even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Is that good? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know. We might know and understand the things that are freely given to you from God. Is that cool? God has given you these things, but he wants you to know them. Just going to church and forgetting him and the rest, I mean, that's not going to cut it. How many say amen to that? He wants you to know who you are. So it's going to take a little bit. I mean, you can talk to me all you want. You can call me up and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And tell me. And most of the time when you come in, I'm going to ask you, what is God saying to you? Because we need to have that personal relationship with God. Every day. If you can, every hour. All day long. Finding out what God is saying to you. Amen. He's got things for you. Psalm 40 verse 5 says this. I like this. And I'm just going to tell you, if you don't have a King James, find it in the King James, because this King James is the only way that says it this way. Okay, just find it and take a look at it. I think the New King James is pretty close to this. But it says this, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which you have done." Then he says this, "Your thoughts which are to usward," in other words, towards you, towards us, "they cannot be reckoned up in order unto you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered." David is expressing something. He says, man, your thoughts. Can I tell you, it was never my thought to be a pastor. It was never David's thought, I believe, to be the king. See, but God has all these thoughts that are issuing out toward you. Is that cool? He's got things he's trying to say. But see, he doesn't want you just going by what everybody around you is telling you. He wants to talk to you personally. Personally. He says, because you are different than everybody around you. You have giftings different. There's nobody else has what you have. And what you have is important to the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, what you have is important to me. What you have is important to me. Because it is what God has placed within you in the body of Christ. Do you understand that? Do you understand how important that is, that you operate in the gifting that he's given you? Ooh, hallelujah. You are special. Hallelujah. Oh, you got this one, you guys. If David says, if I could get all the thoughts that you have towards me, he goes, they're too many. And in Psalm 139, he says this. Psalm 139, verse 17. He says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. Amen. Then he says this, how great is the sum of them. Do you see what God is thinking about you, where he wants to take you, what he wants for you and for your life? It's a great thing. How great is the sum? What's the sum? If David could write them all down, is what he said, right? Put them up in order for you. There are too many to count. But if I could count them, draw the line, count them all up. The sum is more than can be imagined. Is that right? Let me ask you something. Why might it be that you have quit seeking God? Why might it be that you felt like maybe in a while, maybe he's not telling me nothing? Why would you even think that? Because he's got great thoughts for you. He's got great intents for you. Amen. He has purpose. He has design. Some of you in here have got these amazing gifts that you don't even know about. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:17. This is the last scripture. I got it. Jeremiah 29:17 says this, for I know what? His thoughts. I know the thoughts that I have. How many, most of you have said this scripture over and over and over and again? Can I tell you, this scripture is directly connected to the candlestick being brought into the room to uncover all the secret things and all the hidden things for you. The Spirit of God. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think of towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Amen? How many want peace? How many like peace? Hallelujah. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a what? An expected end. I'm going to tell you something. That expected end is not your expected end. It's his expected end, what he was trying to get in you, what he's trying to place in you, so that you can walk in the manner of the Son of God. Do you know that? You can walk the way Jesus walked. He says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Is that cool? He's asking, church. He's telling us, I want you to seek me. I want you to come after me. Because it is very much profitable to you to learn about me, him. He's talking about himself. It is profitable for you to learn about him because he wants to take you someplace that you don't know about. He wants to give you something and show you something that's in you already that you don't know about. He is trying to get you to the place where you'll hear and see him. Yeah, you. Amen? How many want that? Ooh, can I tell you, as the body of Christ, we need you to do that. We need you going after God with all these things. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you say, man, I'm going to seek God? How many say, man, I'm going to go after God? I want to know what he has for me. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord. Great is he. And he knows everything about you. He has purposed and planned and designed the greatest things for you if you'll just yield yourself to him. Is that okay? Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Mr. Piano Player. I'm going to pray for you. Like I asked you this morning, I would like just ask you, how many of you want to hear God more? You want to see more of what God has for you? Can I just say this to you? He's got great things. He will show you. I can't show you. I don't know. But he does. And when you find, you watch what happens. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I ask you, Father, that you'd continue to touch your people. Lord, that you by your spirit, Lord, hallelujah, would open up your word to your people in the name of Jesus. That you, Father God, would show them the things that you have for them today. This is the day the Lord has made. Today, Lord, show them the things you have for them. Strengthen them, build them, cause them to walk in places others have never walked. Cause them, Father God, to speak things in a way that others have not spoken. And Lord, hallelujah, touch our world through the body of Christ today. In Jesus' name, if you say amen. 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 How many agree with that? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.